Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review GoBots Issue 1. Optimus Prime and Bumblebee show up at some Thanksgiving Day parades, and our very own Jeremy is hosting a couple of panels at Wizard World Madison. Today is Friday, November 30th, 2018, and this is episode 105 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's getting more and more tempted by TFCon at Los Angeles. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Yusuf, better known as Yoshi.
Yeah, the temptation was too much. I'm going.
Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not going.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, how's it going? Let's talk Transformers.
All right.
We never really talked about it in the last show, but... We kind of interviewed Colin from TFCon, and we never really kind of, you know, promoted that at all. We should have mentioned.
You're right. I put a link in the show notes to Alt Mode last week, but we didn't obviously.
You assume people read those.
Well, we did put it on social media and everything, and it did show up in the podcast feed, so hopefully people downloaded it. But yes, we interviewed Colin.
Our tens of listeners got it.
TFCon retweeted us.
That's good.
There you go.
Yeah, so we interviewed Colin, the organizer of TFCon, about TFCon Los Angeles and the G1 reunion that is going on there. They've got a buttload of guests, and they're promising more, so keep looking, keep watching their feed. But to take it back to Transmissions, of course, we usually start the show talking about donations. Don't have any this week. You can go to our merch store, transmissionspodcast.com/shop, if you want to buy some Transmissions merchandise. We did draw our November Toy Hacks winner in the main Transmissions episode this week, so congratulations to Emmett for winning that. And let's get started, jump right into the show with some comics news. So, a bit of comics news this week. First of all, there's another Bumblebee one-shot coming out, and we've got cover artwork for Bumblebee Go for the Gold. This is the sequel to the Bumblebee Win If You Dare graphic novel that came out a couple months ago. This is a nice little like G1 Prime universe, I guess, pun intended. It's like a cartoon, kind of cartoon squint. And it looks familiar, G1 universe. Yeah, well, I think we'll be getting to review these eventually. Of course, we were backlogged a little bit, so we'll see. But I liked Win If You Dare. I thought that was a nice little story. And I hope this one will be in a similar style.
Yeah, I agree.
Next, we've got all of our Transformers comics artists are showing off some of their work. First, from Andrew Griffith, we've got a really cool piece of art that comes all the way from Japan. So Andrew was part of this Kitakyushu Artist-in-Residence program. So Kitakyushu is a town in Japan, and Andrew was there meeting with fans there, showing off some of his art. He got to meet some other artists there. And he did a special piece of art specifically for this town, and they're putting this artwork in the mayor's office or near the mayor's office in their city hall building. And he incorporated an anime version of Optimus Prime holding the Kitakyushu's mascot Taitan, which is a little bear figure. It's a really cool piece of art, and it's cool that they're putting this in their city hall. So
yeah, he said in his tweet, it's by the mayor's office.
Yeah, I did say that.
That's really cool. Oh, I was enraptured by the art.
But yeah, so great job, Andrew. And of course, Andrew Griffith is a longtime Transformers Robots in Disguise artist, and like after it was just the regular Transformers book. So following that, we've got art from Keizama, who was the main artist on Optimus Prime. And this is line art from issue 25, the final issue. So we've got a Bumblebee there. We've got a space scene. And we've got that cool Unicron. I think in particular, Yoshi, when you you gave us your phone-in review, you highlighted this Unicron art, this Unicron's face close-up here. So it's nice to see this line art.
Yes.
All right. So check out that artwork from Keizama. Not to be outdone, Alex Milne is sharing some of his art from the Unicron series. And so he's got line art. I think he said issue 5 was the issue that he had the most fun working on. So you see some line art from there and from issue 6 as well. The final page of issue 6 with all the characters in that group shot with Metroplex in the background. So, yeah.
Some of those battle scenes, I don't understand how, like, I don't know, you have to have a lot of respect, obviously, for Alex for drawing this, but for any of the colorists to have to work on his pages to, like, be like, this is so much stuff going on. I mean, and the fact that they, you know, they generally don't make mistakes and color the wrong thing, that's just amazing, because that's just, when you look at the pencils, it's just like, what goes where? I don't know, it's just amazing to me.
Another little interesting thing we've got from former IDW creators is an article from James Roberts. This is on the Escapist website, the Escapist magazine, where he reflects on writing the ending to his More Than Meets the Eye / Lost Light saga, talking about how endings are both easy and hard. So... I read this article. I thought it was a really interesting kind of take on what he had to do to kind of finish up the series and what the reader was expecting and how you deal with those expectations in a serial medium. I liked it. I thought it was a nice little retrospective. Lastly, we have some information on upcoming solicitations from IDW for February 2019. This is where it's not too exciting at this point because there's no main Transformers series anymore. But we do still have some Transformers adjacent stuff coming out. The Unicron trade paperback, so that's just the collected 6-issue miniseries that just wrapped up. And we've got GoBots number 4. So this is number 4 of the 5-issue miniseries that's solicited for February. Hopefully, crossing fingers, Tom Scioli can stick to the schedule. But we'll see. But that's all the solicitations for the month of February. Still, the new Transformers reboot series is... in the horizon, but we still don't have any information on that yet. So that's all the comics news. Let's move on to our comic review.
All right. This week, to make Yoshi and Daryl both very happy, we're reviewing GoBots number 1. You guys can stop begging for it now.
You're a jerk. I feel like I'm being misrepresented on this show.
GoBots number 1, a story, art, and letters are by Tom Scioli, editor is David Hedgecock, and publisher is Greg Goldstein. There are 5 covers for this book. The cover A has leader 1, that is done by Tom Scioli. Cover B is a blank sketch cover. Retailer incentive A has a Scooter being attacked by Psychill, and that is by Dash Shaw. Retailer incentive B has Turbo and Crasher locked in battle by Ben Mara. And the retailer exclusive, and this was like a local comic shop day cover, it was a classic cartoon look of Turbo Leader 1 and Scooter. And this is by Diego Jordan Piera. So Yoshi, let's start with you. Which one of these do you like?
Sure. I ended up actually buying the local comic book store day exclusive and like 6 copies of the blank.
Well, yeah, I guess you can never have too many blanks.
I'm pretty addicted to blanks.
Daryl, how about you?
I wanted the blank one. I think that one's the best one. It has the best art on it. The title bar is done very well.
Cut his mic.
You bastard.
And I think that generally any art that I get put on it is better. So, yeah, I picked up the blank. I thought that was a really nice one.
Daryl, look, I speak for everyone when I say I completely agree with you.
Awesome.
You speak for no one, Yoshi.
Dr. Charles, what do you think?
Well, since I have 97% controlling share in the podcast.
Oh, son of a bitch, you don't even hesitate to fucking throw it in.
That's it. He's going to lay it down.
I'm going to pick the Retailer Incentive Cover B by Ben Mara. I thought that was a nice cover. And since I do have a controlling majority in this podcast, that is the cover. That is the official cover that Transmissions likes.
Oh.
I'm going to say it because we're all thinking it. Dick.
Well, the cover I like the best was just cover A. With a book like this, particularly the first issue, I like the interior artist, you know, have their work on the cover.
When we put out the control art for the alt mode show, don't you usually pick the one that has the most votes for that for that control art, Jeremy?
Usually, but I'm not beholden to that.
Well, I think you need to be beholden this
week. You do. I think the blank has gotten the most votes.
It's definitely gotten the most purchases.
You're overruled, Daryl. You're overruled. And
I don't know. Two to one to one.
Well, if you're going to grab my hands and force me to put that in this post when I make the episode go live, you're welcome to try.
Dick.
We'll see what I end up doing.
His doctorates are not in fair or non-biased play, apparently.
Nope.
All right, well, let's get into the summary here. And this is a complete reimagining of GoBots. So if you remembered anything from the show, probably toss a lot of it out. But the book starts with some jets flying a stealth mission over enemy territory when they're spotted and attacked. They destroy all but one enemy jet, which flies off, and they're ordered to let that one go, but one of the pilots disobeys the order and gets shot down by the other jet. The rest of the jets are nearing their target, and the lead one proceeds with the next phase of the mission. It breaks away and lands as it converts into a giant robot at the same time. The jet is Leader One, and he asks the human commander if lethal force is authorized. Given an approval, he decimates the defending troops. After things have calmed down, Leader One has located where some hostages are being kept, and they promptly rescue them. In America, a young girl named AJ is running late for a college class. She's riding a GoBot named Scooter, and he gets her there right as class is about to start. She invites Scooter to join her, and her professor allows it, as the class is intro to GoBotics, and it'd be nice to have an in-person example. He teaches how the GoBots were originally created to help solve the parking problem, but now they're uses even in space exploration and racing. We move on to one of those races as we see Matt Hunter winning another race with his GoBot Turbo. After the celebrations have ended, he's approached by a limo with T. Coriander Banks inside. Banks has a proposition for Hunter and asks him and Turbo to follow in the limo. When they get to the destination, the limo reveals that it's a GoBot named Stretch and changes to its robot form. They go into an arena where they see an illegal fight happening between two GoBots. The victor is a ruthless bot named Psykill that rips his head off the opponent. Psykill asks the crowd if anyone else can challenge him and singles out Turbo. Not wanting any part of this, Hunter tells Turbo they're leaving. However, he's quickly grabbed by the crowd and dumped on the arena floor. Hunter is face-to-face with Psykill, and Psykill seems to laugh at Hunter's assumption that his G-chip will prevent him from harming humans. Psykill approaches Hunter for a quick kill when Turbo jumps in to save him. Grabbing Hunter, he quickly changes form and they escape. Returning later with police in tow, the arena is gone as well as all the GoBots. They do see a wrecked GoBot, and then they see another body that looks to be human, and then they realize that there's more humans and it looks like they were all massacred as they were running away. Leader One is returning to his base where he and his pilot are brought a new mission. There's been a group of GoBots that have been robbing gas stations on Route 66. Leader One's pilot goes to talk with one of the human victims of the attacks. The victim says that he was enticed into a car by a sexy female voice and then was locked in and thrown around the car as it drove around and then revealed itself to be Crasher, a renegade GoBot. She then dumped him out of the car and then took all the money, ammo, and fuel from the gas station. Flying over the American Southwest, Nick is about to order them to head back when Leader One identifies a caravan of vehicles with no human life signs. They're about to go into attack when they're ambushed by a helicopter. They're able to get a hit on the chopper, but when it lands, it changes into a motorcycle and drives into the canyons. Leader One loses him for a bit, then catches up again, and the two begin to fight. During the fight, Nick, who is inside Leader One, is injured, but Leader One continues to fight. Psykill is also trying to turn Leader One by talking about their superiority as a species. Leader One isn't falling for it, but before they can fight again, he's surrounded by the other renegade GoBots, and he's subdued. They're able to tap into his systems and get nuclear launch codes, and then leave him as they're able to start conquering the planet. Elsewhere, AJ is having dinner with her professor, Professor Braxis. He says that she's one of his best students, and they both have something in common. They both have GoBots. This confuses AJ as she wonders why he didn't bring his to class. However, he lets her know that his is unique, and he leads her down to the basement to meet him. Then he locks her in the basement as a large, green, scary GoBot named Vamp approaches her. Outside, Scooter hears her cries for help and busts in through the house to rescue her. He tells her to go home as they see some chaos outside. Then Scooter lets her know that the Asimov laws have been disabled and GoBots are turning against their human masters. Looking up, AJ asks Scooter as if he's going to hurt her, to be continued. So I thought this was really interesting, and not remembering a lot about GoBots other than they were originally cyborgs in the cartoon, like they were originally humanoids and then had cybernetics on them, and eventually they became like fully robotic. That was pretty much all I remembered, and this is a really neat take on it. And looking, like doing some of the research on, like as I was doing this with some of the names, all the names of the humans are from the cartoon. And they resemble the cartoon look. And the GoBots, like, they looked exactly like they were supposed to look. More for the toy looks than the cartoon looks. I just think this is a neat story of just kind of a robotic race that is apparently going to try to take over the world. Yoshi, let's start with you. What are your thoughts on the book?
I think the art in here is a touch better than in Transformers versus G.I. Joe.
It seems a lot toned down from the craziness.
Was yeah, the it's, you know, at times it kind of feels like a UK version of Transformers, the way the art is. But that's just at times. I'm kind of thrown off a little bit by Psykill being a chopper, or am I misinterpreting that?
I believe he kind of was a triple changer, but I can't remember. I forgot to look
at that. No, that's just another GoBot. Yeah, that's Copter. That's
Copter.
Oh, it's Copter? Oh, they have the same colors in that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Psykill was always on the ground.
Right.
Okay. Never mind then.
You know, there is... I have a lot of faith that the next issue is going to be more entertaining. There's a lot of, you know, what is it, character building?
Setup.
And the way Scioli has done this by adding 36 panels on one page makes it a bit of a daunting task. So I enjoyed your review for not having to have to suffer through that myself. I'm not intrigued like you are about the story or the hook, and that's too bad. I don't know that I have anything else to tell you.
Okay. Daryl, what about you?
Yeah. Getting the shit comments out of the way, eh?
Yep.
I don't like the art. It's not good. I don't like it. When you said that the GoBots were created to help with all like parking, I didn't take it as that.
It says that
they started out as a solution to parking problem.
Yeah,
it doesn't say they were created. It says they started out as a solution to parking problem.
Well,
doesn't say created though.
Okay, well, maybe they'll have changed it. Like, we'll find out more in future issues.
This book starts out on what I would have assumed would have been like the third to fifth issue of an arc, the story-wise anyway, where you're already established with the history of the characters. Like, you know, where did this girl get her scooter? Where did, you know, why does she have a GoBot?
Kind of dropped in the middle of...
Exactly, and that's what I mean. You know, everything's just kind of happening already, and here you go. The story's underway. Pick it up. The idea of Psykill being like a gladiatorial bot, that's fine. It's from the Transformers comics.
Yeah.
You know, he fought Megatron in Megatron Origins number one. I just had a hard time getting by the art. I agree that this was toned down a bit, but so far he hasn't really had a chance to fill the page with a billion characters like he did with the G.I. Joe stuff. I don't know, the fight scene between Leader One and Psykill, it was okay for as Mickey Mouse as it was. The fact that the human was kept inside Leader One the entire time and Psykill was aiming to hurt that person was an interesting take on it. The only other part that I found was kind of interesting was the fact that they name dropped Isaac Asimov as the laws, right? The three Asimov laws, so that they've been turned off. So there was never any part of the plot that showed that was being done. It's just the girl went down in the basement. She came out of the basement, and now the whole world's being overrun by GoBots. How long was she down there?
Well, I took it as it was happening simultaneously.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm taking it as. You know, the world's going crazy, and you'd think that would have been happening at the same time, right?
Presumably, if there are robots, Psykill could broadcast some, you know, manifesto to all the GoBots around the world saying, rise up and rebel.
Yeah, well, they got all the codes, like, more than just the nuclear codes, so I'm guessing they got a control codes to disable that in all the GoBots.
Right, and that was the other point I was going to make. What kind of BS storyline is it where you put the nuclear codes in the brain of a plane? And so, I mean, like, these things are kept under, like, strictest of security, but we're going to put them in the brain of this autonomous robot that, you know, flies around.
I didn't think they were in the brain, but I think they used him to hack in. But still, yeah, I mean, having it something that was accessible is a dumb plot point. I will concede that.
There was a lot of dumb things in this book as far as the storyline goes. I don't particularly like the art, like I said. They're drawn better than I can draw them. So, I mean, I can't complain too much. I don't know. It's GoBots.
Not that it's any better, but that is kind of the same plot from the 2007 live-action Transformers movie where...
Yeah, there you go.
The Decepticons go to a base in Qatar to get access to the U.S. military network, mm-hmm. and then to Air Force One.
Mm. Which is a dumb thing there, too.
Yeah.
And why are the pages still colored like the old pages?
That's just his style.
All right.
Okay, well, Charles... What are your thoughts on the issue?
Yes, tell us why it's the best book ever.
Well, I didn't say that. I mean, I did enjoy it. I think it was a good setup to the story. I didn't mind having the story start, I guess they call it in media res. I think that's what they call when you start the story in the middle, which I was okay with. I think it did a good job of giving you enough context clues to know what's going on. I like this reimagining of the GoBots as, you know, it's basically, you know, your Terminator plot line where the machines rise up against you. So I'm curious to see. I mean, it's funny because I think the Renegade GoBots basically have a good point. I mean, why should they be slaves? So I'm wondering what the good guy GoBots are going to have. I guess the Guardian GoBots are going to, what reason they'll have to stay loyal to the humans. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was a good setup. I was kind of creeped out by that professor. What did he have, like, a GoBot sex slave dungeon in his basement? What was going on there?
I'm concerned because, one, he invites one of his female students over for dinner.
Yeah.
And then she's willing to go down into his basement. I mean, it's like red flags all over the place.
Yeah, so that was weird. I'm glad Scooter was able to get her out of there, but that weird GoBot down there was very creepy. I wonder if that's from like another reference to something else.
Well, he is one of the bad humans in cartoon.
Okay,
according to Wikipedia,
is another one of the bad humans the limo guy that Matt whatever met.
I didn't look up his name.
Okay.
It's such a specific name. I'm sure it is.
All our GoBot fan listeners are screaming at us right now.
Yes, I'm sure they are. Both of them.
I did think this was an interesting setup, a good issue, a good solid issue. I enjoyed it. I like Tom Scioli's art. I like the style. I like kind of the old school drawn look. I mean, it really looks like, you know, someone just is drawing it without any digital production at all. So it's really interesting. Like all the lettering is everything. It looks like it's all handwritten. The weathering I could kind of do without all the weathering and the like the, mm-hmm. the artificial weathering, but I do like the art style. And I'm looking forward to see where this goes.
Cool. Yeah, well, it is going to be interesting one way or the other. But yeah, there are a lot of plot points that are just kind of just to get from A to B, like the nuclear codes and things. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, GoBots was never high fiction. So
one thing that I mean, I'm sure this is, we can't really complain about scale, but I mean, in Transformers, scale is always all over the place. But having a jet like be toe to toe with a motorcycle, that was a little bit like, I mean, that jet leader one should have been able to like step on all the renegade GoBots in the desert. I mean, I don't think they should come up to his knee. It was kind of weird that they were all like his size and could overpower him. But, you know, that's just, you know, judging by the scale of their actual vehicle modes.
But you're okay with a pistol going head to head with a semi.
I said I can't complain. I prefaced my comment with that, but
Daryl and I argue that you can complain.
All right. Well, that will be it for the comic review this week. So we will see what we're going to review next week. I have no idea.
All right. Well, let's move on to some Transformers media news.
A mysterious new Transformers Evergreen 3D figure appeared on the Quid app. So I don't know who this is, but he's Quid. Mysterious.
Yeah, Quid is a digital sticker app or trading card.
Yeah, so you could take a look at these things. It's Grimlock, Optimus, and Bumblebee, but they're in a... they're in different modes. Like the Grimlock especially looks very I don't know, he looks kind of like, well, he's in a G1 kind of a state, but he's new, he's a new design, so that looks kind of cool. Optimus looks like his RID, or sorry, his new Cyberverse kind of design, but with a G1 kind of more leaning towards G1. And Bumblebee, I don't know, Bumblebee looks different altogether. It's definitely not Cyberverse.
These are all the Evergreen designs, which is the like the new kind of Neo G1 like reference mm-hmm. reference art designs that Hasbro is using for like future, I guess, future figures or whatever. I don't know.
The mystery here is that they use the Quid app to do this.
I think they did that before with some other designs.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the I think Power of the Primes designs came out there.
Moving on. The Bumblebee movie is coming up fast and furious here. It's less than a month. And if you're interested in buying shirts, then head over to your local Kroger because there's a display. We don't have Kroger here, but if you're in the U.S. of America, you can go to a Kroger and find some Bumblebee movie shirts. Loot Crate is doing a Bumblebee movie specific loot crate. You have until December 19th at 9 p.m. to register for that. It's 9 p.m. Pacific time. Yeah. I've never done a loot crate before, but for all intents and purposes, they're probably pretty fun.
They're a pain in the ass to unsubscribe from.
But yeah, I don't think you ever really get anything very valuable from them, though. And the Bumblebee movie adaptation, the junior novel, and Passport to Reading book is out now. This is the little kid book.
This is two books.
Two books. Little kid books for your junior readers out there. And our own personal junior reader, Jeremy, decided to take a stab at it. Jeremy, what are your thoughts on the Bumblebee movie Junior Reader?
Okay, yeah, so it was $7, and I was curious about what kind of plot points from the movie were in there. And this is the junior novel, not the Passport to Reading book. They're two separate books.
It's cool, man. We're happy with your level of reading.
So it looks like it's like the first half, or maybe even just the first third of the movie in the junior novel. And it shows like a lot of what we've seen with the how she gets the car, you know, it's her birthday, blah, blah, blah. And if the movie goes along this path, I would be it'll be a very enjoyable movie in my mind. It goes up through, I think, just past where they encounter the Optimus Prime hologram. And it's clear Bumblebee has memory loss and, you know, doesn't really, you know, he can't really communicate that well, you know, because he can't talk. So it's, I don't know, I could see for the age group, it's something they would enjoy and probably drive them to ask their parents to go see the movie. That's probably all it's trying to do. But you don't get to any battles at all. It just kind of hints that there's this whole, like, John Cena guy coming and looking for him.
Cool.
I didn't get the Passport to Reading book.
Well, there's hope. Christmas is coming.
Fingers are crossed.
Hasbro and Play-Doh got together to redo the Bumblebee movie trailer in Play-Doh. I gotta say, it looks pretty damn good. Anybody out there who's got an affinity for Play-Doh, take a look. All right, and we've got two new clips from Bumblebee, these are just kind of hitting the TV screens near you, so take a look at those. I haven't watched them myself because I'm just trying to stay away from anything else now. All right. More TV spots are featuring Bumblebee movie TV spots, feature scenes from Cybertron. Take a look at those. We got movie access, early access on the 8th. There are three different theaters that you can go to and try and find them. AMC theaters, Cinemark theaters, and Fandango theaters.
Fandango's a website, not theater.
All right, then. All right, and take a look at those and see if you can get in to see it early. It's on December 8th are the early showings, and it's about 12 days before it actually appears. All right, and moving over to Cyberverse. The Cartoon Network acquired a license to broadcast the Transformers Cyberverse show in Latin America, Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So there you go. It'll be global now. And that's it for media news.
All right, let's move on to some transforming pop culture. Just a couple of merchandising, product placement stuff going on. So we talked about the Transformers Puma sneakers. Well, I talked about them. This was in the episode when you guys were all at TFCon. So you guys probably don't remember this. But Transformers partnered with Puma to release some Optimus Prime and Bumblebee sneakers, colored
sneakers. That's what they were giving away at TFCon. We all got a pair.
These have been released in Europe. So this was last week when this episode goes up. They've been released. It was on actually Thanksgiving Thursday, the November 22nd. So if you're in Europe and you want some Optimus Prime or Bumblebee Pumas, have fun getting them.
They're coming out here in December, right?
Yes.
Your confidence is astounding, sir.
Maybe. Yeah, December 22nd in the U.S.
Just before Christmas, so. Everybody. Good luck.
We weren't really getting these anyway. At least I have no interest in Transformers-themed sneakers, but sorry.
I'm sure if they were GoBots-themed, you'd be all over it. Shut up, Yoshi. Okay.
Also, Transformers are making floats and parades. I didn't even realize Toronto would have a parade in November. I thought only there were only Thanksgiving's Day parade in November, but Toronto had a parade November 18th, and they had a Bumblebee float there. This is their Santa Claus parade.
Do you guys not believe in Santa Claus?
We do. Our Thanksgiving parade begins with a turkey and ends with Santa Claus.
I hear tell that they've got a Toys R Us in Toronto.
Multiple.
Several, yep. Also, at the Detroit Thanksgiving Day Parade, we had an Optimus Prime float. So, on both sides of the border, we've got floats up there. And this one looks like an evergreen model design of the float. He does have a face mask, so that's good.
With both floats, I feel sorry for the people having to like walk around it and the costumes that they were in. I mean, more so the Detroit people than the Toronto people.
Yeah, the Detroit folks are all, looks like they have to wear like Movieverse Optimus Prime costumes.
Yeah. Mm. Whatever they're wearing on their head, it just looks dumb.
It looks like everybody in the crowd watching on is just crying.
But I guess you've made it when you've got floats and giant floats and parades. So, and that's it for Transforming Pop Culture. So let's move on to some convention news.
First up, we have some TFCon announcements. The first one is Morgan Lofting will be at TFCon Los Angeles. And she was Moonracer and Firestar in G1 and Baroness in G.I. Joe. And something we've neglected to mention with previous things, a lot of these actors at TFCon LA are only going to be there on one day. Morgan Lofty will only be there on Sunday, March 17th.
I think it's very misleading that TFCon's not putting that on the graphic. That's really,
right. That's only in the text on the post.
Yeah, it's like at the very end. Like, it's really misleading. They're going to have a backlash from that.
Right. Yeah, like Michael Horton, who was there, or who's going to be there, and it's his first appearance. It was Chip Chase. He's also only going to be there on Sunday the 17th. Someone that's going to be there all weekend is Jack Lawrence, who's making his TFCon debut. I believe, I don't think he's been to TFCon Canada. But he is the artist on Lost Light, and he will be there all weekend. So he'll have prints and commissions, and I'm sure as we get closer, he will put on his social media commission stuff. So check him out there. And then finally, we have a Flint Dilly, who was just at TFCon Chicago. He was a writer for the G1 series. And he, it doesn't say here, so I'm assuming he will be there all weekend. He is a TFCon veteran, and traditionally he is there all weekend. So be sure to check him out. His panels are hilarious. All right. And in other convention news, we have Andrew Griffith. We just talked about him, and I forgot to put this in previous weeks, but he is going to be at Tokyo Comic Con November 30th through December 2nd. And Monster Japan Ebisu in Tokyo, December 3rd. So if you're in Tokyo and you're going to be one of those shows, go say hi to Andrew and buy some stuff. And finally, that same weekend, November 30th through December 1st, if you're listening to this, it'll be like this weekend. If you're in Madison, Wisconsin, come to my panels. I have a panel Friday that might be over by the time you hear this on podcasting. It's at 6:30 p.m. And then Saturday, December 1st at 1:30 p.m., I'm doing a retrospective on the IDW Transformers, and that is in Mendota 6 in Wizard World Madison. So come check it out. Say hi, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This will be, it's both terrifying and going to be a lot of fun. So that is convention news.
All right, let's finish up the show with some feedback.
And if you would like to leave some feedback with Transmissions, head on over to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. There you've got such a crazy number of ways to leave us feedback, even a voicemail if you'd like to hear your voice on the show. So check that out at transmissionspodcast.com/feedback. And this week we got a message from Dinobot Maximize, who was clearly affected by Thanksgiving and wanting to give thanks. And he wrote in to let us know how thankful he was about IDW and the Transformers universe that they created and all the entertainment that came along with that. He was very, very grateful about that. And it was just a nice note to receive. So thank you very much for that, Dinobot. I think a lot of people feel the same way you do. And with that, that's what we've got for feedback this week, Charles.
All right, then I think we'll close it up here and let Jeremy run off to get his panel ready. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Yep.
Yes?
Yes.
Mark. Okay.
Nope.
Fails one button and it's the
nope.
End of the fucking
We're
world.
Not good. Not, oh. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
A joke
it's not
that's
funny,
funny
anymore, Daryl.
Daryl, this is just for you doing that.
You suck.